There are a lot of Daryls in our churches today, as disproven. They are uncomfortable lifting their hands in worship to their God. They are uncomfortable singing hymns of praise. They are uncomfortable praying out loud. They are embarrassed to openly confess their faith in Christ. They think that a Christian, merely because they belong to the church. And I have another point I want to make this morning, is that just because you belong to church does not make you a Christian.
Amen.
Any more than you standing in a garage makes you a car.
Amen.
Amen. If you have not confessed your belief in Christ Jesus. But Christianity is not an act of commitment. It is not just an emotional outburst or a tearful confession. It involves a willingness to take the plunge and to run the risk of seeming ridiculous. Sports fans do this all the time. We paint our faces. We wear silly costumes. We wave childish signs. Why do Christians not do that with the same sense as you do in a sports event?
Amen.
If you don't believe that, I went to some of the games of some of the kids, and I didn't hardly recognize some of the people that were at the game. Because I never seen them say or hear them say amen in church. But they telling the referee how to referee. They're calling out a whole lot of stuff, but they sat in church and they basically.
All right.
Does it mean that our commitment to God is less than our commitment to the secular events in our life? You have free will and a chance to either seek God or to shun Him. Christ makes it clear in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him." But it has to be an act of commitment. It is a commitment and surrender to all of yourself that you know as much about God as you can understand. It should be done in a sense of adventure, knowing that nothing in your life will ever be the same when you let Jesus into your heart. The old people used to say, back in Sister Johnson's day, "I looked at my hands, and they looked new. I looked at my feet, and they need to, oh, what a wonderful change." I'll get it later. "Oh, what a wonderful change that's been made in my life since Jesus came into my heart." But those were the same old rusty hands, the same old rusty feet, but they look different because the scale of unbelief and the scale of knowledge had been lifted from their eyes, and now they can see themselves as Jesus saw them. As Christ's disciples, there are three needs we should have to exhibit in our life, or have exhibited in our life. First need is desire. Desire. If you're going to be a disciple, you must first desire Christ. The word desire conjures up a type of craving that one has. And we all get cravings every now and then. We all desire stuff every now and then. Every now and then we desire chocolate cake.
Alright.
Every now and then we desire a Jaguar XJM. We desire a fatter paycheck. Some desire a man. Sisters desire a man who's buff, employed, and ready to marry.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
In the scripture, the word desire means will. Thea. It means to desire, to wish, to resolve, or to be determined. A disciple must demonstrate a will to follow Christ. He must exhibit a powerful and purposeful desire. desire and be deliberate in his choice and determined to resolve to follow Christ. Follow Jesus. Take no chance getting lost. If a person really wills and deliberately chooses to follow Christ, then he will do all three of the things that we're about to mention. But notice the choice is always, Jesus Christ is always a voluntary choice.
Amen.
No one is going to twist your arm, add enticing things like a used car salesman to get you to accept Christ. It's your choice. You are to choose, and you alone. I don't care how much your mother loves you, I don't care how much your father loves you, they can't choose for you. You have to make a choice. No matter how much you love your husband or your spouse or a wife, you've got to choose for yourself. Jesus' word said, I'll set before you life and death. Choose life. He recommends to you life, but you don't have to choose life. You can choose death.
That's right.
Some of you probably won't agree with that. Some will say, well, I'm here because my mother made me come. I'm here because my grandma made me come. Or that someone has put a guilt trip on them to make them come. But that will is not the will and the desire. You may be motivated, yes, motivated by the power greater than yours to do something, but you don't necessarily have to exercise will and desire to come to church. But if you do have an exercise will and desire to come to church, you must also follow Christ with your mind, body, and spirit. God don't want a third of you, a half of you. He wants all of you.
Amen.
He wants all of you.
Amen.
That's what you're doing when you come to church to please. When you come to church to please someone else, you're not pleasing God. You ought to not be able to wait until Sunday morning to come to the house of prayer. And you ought to enter the house, as the psalmist say, enter into God's house with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You ought not need the praise team to pump you up. You ought to be there to pump them up. Because you know what God has done for you all week long. He walked with you. He talked with you. He took you through dangers, seen and unseen dangers. He opened doors that were closed in your faith because you serve a mighty God. So you come on Sunday to praise his holy name. You come to get happy.
Yeah.
But you got a desire to serve the Lord. The second need, one that we have some issues with sometimes, and that is denial. Denial. If we're going to be the disciples of Christ, we must also deny ourselves. The word deny means to disown, disregard, forsake, renounce, reject, refuse, restrain, disclaim, or to do without. The true disciples are willing to subdue their own desires and disregard their own self-interest. They just say no. They have learned to model their lives after Christ, who said, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you're facing crisis and issues, like Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he wanted Christ, God to move the cup from him, he then said, he prayed and asked God, will you move it, Lord? And then he came to the conclusion, it is not about me, but it's all about him. So whatever your will is, Lord. And we have to get to the good point that we emphasize. It's not about us. Not about Eastside Baptist, it's about what God would desire and say in our prayers and in our efforts. Your will.
Yes,
take me out of the equation. positively. And to say yes to him. And no to self. Christ has to rule and reign in the disciple's life to be completely in charge. In the Greek, the word deny is an ingressive acrostic, which means that the person enters into a state, a new state and a new condition. It means let him be at once to begin again to deny himself. The Apostle Paul put it away, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Deliver me from the Christians that's acting the same way that they did before they got saved. Same old wicked attitude. Same old lying. Same old backstabbing. Same old ripping and running. Same old trying to rip people off. Deliver me from that Christian, because the Christian, the Word of God, that if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation.
Amen.
Let us look at the third deed. We've talked about denial. We've talked about desire. Now let us look at the third deed. The third deed is devotion. A disciple has to follow Christ. The word follow in the Greek means to follow or companionship. It is the idea of seeking to be just like Christ. It is not a passive action. It's something or something you do when you have time. Or you can squeeze him into your busy schedule. The true disciple must make an active commitment to walk with Christ, to pour his energy and effort into serving Christ. How many times have you said, well, I would go, but I'm just tired today? How many times have you said, I could help, but somebody else can do it? Amen? You heard the story of everybody, somebody, nobody? Amen? You heard that? Everybody, somebody, nobody? Everybody thought somebody was going to do it. It ended up that nobody actually did.
All right.
Amen? Have you ever said? If I only preached when the choir was singing good, I was preaching all the time. Y'all thought I was preaching. Yeah. Amen. I may have fell off the trailer truck when it went yesterday. Amen. Amen. If I only preach when the deacons were deacon good, then I may have some off days. Amen. But if we are serving God with zeal, we're going to serve God no matter who's preaching, whoever's singing, no matter what's going on. Because your worship is not unto man. Your worship is unto God.
Amen.
And it does stand the fit to make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's good when we can sing in harmony.
Yes.
But if we have devotion, we'll be able to say, as Paul testified to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet I, not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life we are living today, we don't live it because of who we are, or what we've accomplished, or what degrees we have. If we are serving Christ and being a disciple of Christ, we recognize that all that I am, and all I ever hope to be, I owe it all to God. And I'm doing this not for a title, not for an award. I'm doing this because of the price that lives in me and the price that he's already paid. But you know, the world is full of distractions to keep us from making a commitment to Christ. Every day, people give up the chance to become a disciple and inherit eternal life because they are sidetracked by temptation. They end up selling their soul for whatever seems most important to them in that moment. Instead of looking at life as an opportunity to make a long-term investment in the things that please God, they sell their soul for a cheap thrill and for instant satisfaction. These are those whom Jesus posed the question, what if a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose their soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, a lot of people are trying to make that big payday. A lot of people are trying to set aside a great wealth for retirement. But you know, they get so caught up in doing stuff that they really forget about the fact that it's all because of Jesus. And if we did what God said in his word, and he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we're doing work, we don't need to work. Sometimes we are doing things that we ought to be to turn over to the Lord, because he said, if you seek me first, not when you retire, not when you tire, not when you think you've got it made and everything is running well, the economy is doing good. But he says, seek me while the economy is bad. Seek me when things aren't going well. Seek me when you're falling down, when you're down in the muck and the mud. Seek me first. If we're wavering in our commitment to Christ, it's time to pinpoint the obstacle that are blocking us from making the best investment in our future. Is it pride? Like the man Darrell, who will not lift his arms in worship and admit he was a Christian? Or is it fear that others will laugh at you? Is it jealousy that others seem to have because you are closer to the Lord? Is it a particular sin that has you in his wrath? But it said, if you confess God, he will remove the stumbling blocks out of your way. If you surrender your life to God, he will make a way out of no way.
Yeah.
If you confess God, he will open doors that you cannot see. If you confess God, he'll pick you up when you're down. He will comfort you in your sleepless night and rock another D popped up. Amen? Because, see, some of y'all, the pastor, all that stuff you're talking about, that's work, man. Where's the joy in that? The third D. Fourth? Thank you, I remember. The fourth D is that one of delight. Amen. That's the shouting beat for y'all.
Amen.
That's the shouting beat. And so, delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate day and night. I'm talking about delight. He delights to do the will of God. Psalm 49, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law will be within my heart. You can get delight when you got the love, the word of God in your heart. And then he said, he will delight in the Lord because he knows that God will give him the desire of your heart. If you want to get the desire, what you want, get Christ in your heart and just stay there. And you and Christ meditate, and you and Christ talk together. You and Christ walk together. You and Christ sleep together. And when you need him, when you're in the hospital, when the doctors say you ought to be upset, that you may not make it out, when you make it out, you know that you can say, I don't worry about you, doctor, because I got a doctor that's better than any other doctor. I got a doctor that's able to pick me up and turn me around. I got a doctor who can. Why? Because I serve an awesome God. I serve a mighty God. I serve a holy God. I get delight. Hallelujah. I get delight in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can share that same delight. Your delight in knowing that you are saved, not because of your works, not because of who you are, but that you're saved by grace. Yeah. Y'all don't act like y'all know what grace is. Yeah. Amen. Grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, you're not saved by anything you can do. You're saved as a gift of God to you, not because of you, but in spite of you. Boy, I'm glad. They grace exists today. The songwriter said, grace woke me up this morning. Grace guided me on my way. Grace helped me tell the story. Give God grace. And maybe y'all have committed any sin that needs to be forgiven. But when I was raised up, and even in the country of Texas, we found stuff to get into. Amen. Even though I graduated in the highest class number that ever graduated from the high school, integrated in 1948. 48. They closed school after we graduated. Amen. The superintendent said, I'm so glad this group will not get a chance to go to the new high school while all the communities coming together and corrupt. That day, we could get into trouble. Even if some of you got into some trouble, and some of you still getting into trouble. But the only way you survive in the day is because God's grace. God's grace and mercy. Grace pleads to change, and mercy I'll give the glory to you. So this morning you can delight because you know that you're saved by grace. The delight in knowing that you're forgiven through his mercy. You can delight in knowing that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can delight this morning knowing that you have strength in his power. You can delight this morning knowing that his love sustains you. You can delight this morning because you know there's nobody but Jesus. You can delight knowing that Jesus died for your sins. at the cabinet and ring a little bell to get his attention. But we serve the true and living God, the resurrected Savior. Disciples of Christ. You have to have the desire to be a disciple. And if you have the desire, you have to be willing to deny yourself. And then you have to be devoted to Jesus Christ. And when that devotion kicks in, and when your denial has taken place, and that your desire is being fulfilled, you will find delight.
Yeah.
You will find joy.
Yeah.
You will find peace.
Yeah.
Somebody this morning is looking for that moment of delight. Now is the time. You have to desire. You have to want to know Jesus in the part of your sin. You have to be willing, my brothers and sisters, to surrender your life to Him. Not to the membership of the church. That will come. But you have to be willing to deny Him. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. You may have problems this morning. You may be burdened. Don't know which way to turn. Let us stand. You can come to Jesus just as you are. God is able this morning to give you all that you need. I'm grateful today that I serve a God of grace and mercy. Nothing.